Benjamin can have love for the trucky. Beautiful minds, but we love getting ugly. Risk takers with a clover, man, we love getting lucky. You run, we chase fire, I love when it ducks me. Tones go off, house watch, read the address out. 1075, get up off the magic couch. 500 gallons prepared for the baddest drought. Who else you want on the way when disaster's out? Can't even get a little bit rattled when you enter with exit apparel. Mayday member down, they'll drag you. You won't get this from every Tom, Dick, and Harold. But here's a view from the top floor with Mickey Farrell.
All right, guys, welcome back to another episode of A View from the Top Floor, FDIC edition, here with my good friend Zach Newton. Now, I've met Zach through social media, and with social media, it is a double-edged sword, as we know, in the fire service. But with that, it has changed my life. I've met lifelong friends, and forever grateful for my friend Zach. So,
thanks for having me.
This is crazy. So this was our first meeting, but we've been talking for quite some time now.
Yeah.
And so we started chatting in the bar last night, and I told you to stop talking because I wanted to capture the moment of actually meeting you in person.
Yeah.
So it's nice to meet you finally.
It's great to finally meet you, yeah.
So Zach Newton, a lot of you know the artwork, but not the man behind the artwork, and I understand that this show is about tactics, but it's also about the brotherhood. It's about friends. It's about family, and that's why I want to connect with Zach and bring him to you, because everyone knows the artwork, like I said, but no one really knows the guy behind it. So what's going on, man? So welcome. Right. Welcome from Texas here in Indy.
Thank you. Yeah, it's good to be here. It's been overwhelming. It's been crazy. It's getting to meet, you know, so many people that developed such a relationship with through social media, you know, and actually getting to put a face to the name and see him in person and everything. It's been awesome, man. So I appreciate you having me out.
Yeah. You know, it was funny the first night we got here, being in the bar and just seeing like years and years of friends that I've made through social media, and now meeting them in person. Yep. It was a bit overwhelming. It was a little emotional, to be honest with you.
It's very overwhelming, emotional. It's emotionally draining, you know, getting to just, you know, those relationships that you have, and it's so much different just, you know, taking time out of the day to text or send a message or call, but actually being able to talk in person and, you know, give a hug or a handshake and everything. Yeah. Like, it's like, man, this is cool, you know?
So how many t-shirts or tattoos of your artwork have you seen since you've been in FDIC?
Oh, God. I haven't seen a tattoo yet, thankfully. I don't know how I'd feel if I saw that. That one would be a little bit overwhelming. Yeah. There's a guy walking by right now that's got a t-shirt on. So it's, I'd probably 100 plus. I mean, every day we see people and we've seen them walking around with it. So
what's that like? What's that like when you're walking through a crowd and you see something you created and the person wearing the shirt has no concept that the artist is standing right next to him?
It's the most wild feeling. I can't even describe it. It's immense pride, and you know, it's like, it's a huge honor, man. I'm always say I'm a nobody that just doodles, right? And I, at my core, think that that's what I am. I'm a nobody that doodles, you know?
Yeah.
I just like being a fireman. That's all.
Well, that's
so it's cool seeing it. And it's like, man, that's nuts. Like they support whatever the cause, you know, what I believe in, you know? And
so that's the thing, that you're not just an artist, you're a firefighter as well.
Yeah.
And I've had some dear friends from Texas, and like the more I get to know about Texas and the friends I have, you know, I think there's something special in Texas that no one really knows unless you truly experience it.
Yeah.
Mo Davis, Clyde Gordon, two friends that I've made over the years.
Phenomenal guys.
Great guys. And now to meet you, it all kind of comes together where I'm getting Texas on every angle, and I truly, truly love it.
I wouldn't put myself anywhere near those guys' level.
Yeah, but, you know what it is, though? But every one of you guys from Texas are down to earth, humble, and just real guys. And that's why
Southern hospitality.
Yeah. But I found a true love with Texas, and like, I love going to Texas, but... So, tell me a little about you. How did you get into the fire service?
Man, my dad was a fireman for 30 years. He retired as a lieutenant. I grew up in his firehouse. I still remember 7-year-old me riding on the back of a reserve open cab, screaming down their main boulevard there through town, going to a fire. Yeah. And I thought, man, this is cool. And I spent probably every other weekend at the firehouse with them. And, you know, the old culture, you know, older culture and the, you know, early 90s and 2000s, you know, and just the how that used to be, you know, and that kind of old mentality of, you know, fireman first, and learned how to be a man at a firehouse, you know, and just all I ever wanted to be was a fireman.
Yeah, I think that speaks volumes for your artwork, because when I first found you on Instagram, I was like, yeah, this guy's pretty good. I started looking at the photos, and I'm like, how does he capture like the real fire service. And that's exactly what drew me to. I mean, there's a ton of stuff on Instagram. There's a ton of artists. There's a ton of firefighter-owned businesses. Yeah. And it goes on. But with you, I was automatically drawn because you really capture what it's like to be a backstep firefighter.
Yeah.
And that's crazy that that artwork was born through actually living that experience.
Appreciate
it. And now for you to be a firefighter, is it the same department where your father worked? Or
no, a different department, but it's... Dad grew up a ghetto suburb fireman of Fort Worth, you know, and it was a very low income. It was a poor city in the county, you know, and we grew up poor, you know. I always say I kind of grew up a poor ghetto fireman a little bit, you know, just as a very small country town, you know. So it's being a big city guy now, it's crazy to see, you know, where I started out and where we're at now, you know. But I love the job. It's phenomenal, you know, and it's I wouldn't say it's necessarily everything I thought it would be. You know, things are a little bit different these days.
Yeah.
You know, but having the ability to do the art, to share that passion, share what I have, you know, and maybe bring back a little bit of that, you know, pride and tradition and the culture, you know, and continue it and instill it in a new generation of guys that see it. That's a very humbling opportunity.
No, I think that's something that we're losing within the fire service, because we're divided by the fire industry. And if you look around here at UFTA, I see a lot of industry.
Yeah.
And is it good or bad? I think it's a necessity, maybe an evil necessity.
Yep.
But it's kind of trickling down into the service side of things.
Yep.
And I feel through you and your artwork, it kind of captures what we've lost.
Yep.
And I think that's important.
That's always been, and it's, you know, I always joke with people on, you know, the art. It's just me making fun of myself, you know. It's the stupid things that I've done around the firehouse, you know, or stories that, you know, everything, something I've been involved with, or, you know, it was a you know, compilation of like two or three things, or, you know, have bring on elements that, you know, stories my dad used to tell me and stuff, you know. So it's I guess that's part of the why everybody, you know, can relate to it. We're all the same circus, just different monkeys, right?
Yeah, and I love how you're living through your father and what he instilled in you.
Yeah.
That's for me as well. Like, I'm a third generation firefighter. I have many, many hours of sitting and talking with my grandfather and my father about fires, about the culture of the fire service. Now, culture, I feel, is something that we can't necessarily teach, right?
Right.
And we're trying so hard to capture it, harness it, and then develop it, but it has to be passed down through generations.
Yeah.
And I hope that we continue with the fire service to have the generational aspect of it, where we're going from generation to generation to generation.
Yeah.
I'm not necessarily sure I want my kids to be firefighters, but if they chose that path, then that's great.
Yeah.
Deep down inside, I want them to choose that path.
Right.
What I'm getting at is that I'm not going to push them. I was never pushed. It's all I ever knew.
That's same. I was never, I mean, shoot, I remember my dad telling me 100 times, hey man, go get a real job. You know, and I, every time I remember pushing back on the, like, nah, man, I want to be a fireman, Dad. Like, that's what I want to do. You know, I don't have kids. I got nephews, though. And, you know, there's that part of me that's like, man, I'd love to see them be firemen. You know, I truly would.
Yeah.
You know, but if they want to go be a astronaut or whatever my oldest nephew's wanting to do this week, you know, it changes. But, you know, if that's what they want to do, then cool. You know, I want to support them on it. But I'd be so stoked if they did become firemen.
Yeah. You know, just walking the floor here. And, you know, this is my first time at FDIC. And, you know, like I said, it's a bit overwhelming, but walking the floor and seeing service interact with industry is a funny thing, right?
Yep.
So a lot of great people here doing a lot of great things for the fire service.
Yep.
And then see that interact with the industry side of things, I can't really put it into words, but it's funny to take a step back and watch.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And I hope that we're not being influenced too much with the safety culture.
Yes.
And with getting away from what you're capturing through your artwork, if you know what I mean.
Yep. No,
three-quarter boots, long coats, leather helmets, the fire service we fell in love with.
I still have my dad's rubber coat, and I still have his original three-quarter boots, right?
Yeah.
Like I remember the day when it was a couple months after he retired, and he was, you know, just cleaning the house, and at the time, I think, you know, not to speak for him, but, you know, it was the end of all he knew, you know, and so he's, well, I don't need this anymore. And I remember pulling them out of the trash, and I'm like, man, you're throwing these away? You know, and I still have them on I keep them in my footlocker at work, you know, and it's just as stupid as it is, you know, it's something to me to be able to see them in there, and I'm like, man, those are my dad's, like, and there's that, you know, the age-old adage on the whole, you know, your name on the back of your coat represents you, you know, your helmet and everything else represents your department. But man, I see that and I'm representing dad today, you know, so.
That's, you know, it's funny you say that. I have like a little basement bar in my house, you know, and next to the bar, my father's three-quarter boots are sitting there, you know.
That's awesome.
And I look at them all the time think about like the fires those boots went into, you know, and a lot of those fires I was at watching buffing with him, you know, just like watching my, not so much buffing, but watching my dad go to fires.
Right.
And
that was coolest, you know, things to be able to do as a kid was see my dad go to work, you know, and I'm like, man, that's my dad. Like, this is cool. You know, and seeing the, you know, his brothers in the firehouse and stuff and how many life lessons I got, man. I can't thank the guys that I grew up with, man. All those guys were like uncles, you know, and just everything that I learned how to be a man, you know, I learned how to be a fireman, you know, and I appreciate every opportunity that I had to be at those places. You know,
it's funny. What you said there, I always say that if your father made you a man, I'll do my damnest to make you a fireman, you know, but your father had to be able to make you a man to a certain point. Now absolutely. I say that it's a very general man, woman. I'm not going down that road, but I'm saying if you had the character, right? So we're always looking to be, what firefighter do we want to come into our company or our department or our job?
Yeah.
And that comes through character.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
The character that your parents developed for you, or they guide you into the right position, right?
Yeah.
I think with that, sporting, and I just wrote about it the other day, but I think that recruiting athletes into the fire service is important, not necessarily baseball, basketball, football. I'm talking about athletes in skateboarding, like athletes within the art community, right? Yeah. We're all athletes in a sense, but like every walks of life, whatever walk of life that is, there's a character behind it, and that's something you want to live for, something you want to die for.
Right. Yeah, that's a great way of putting it. Yeah.
We all love going to fires.
Right.
But I love meeting the people like yourself that truly love the job.
Yeah.
Now, you can love the job or really, really love the job.
Right.
Loving everything leading up to it.
Yeah.
The tones go off. That's the best part. We go to a fire.
Yeah.
But the ones that truly, truly love the process of getting to that fire, they're the guys I want to work with.
Yeah.
You know?
Absolutely. So, yeah.
And again, that's truly what you're capturing with everything you're doing with your artwork, and that's a special thing about it.
That's always been the goal on it. You know, it's me making fun of myself a little bit. You know, some of the goofy thing. You know, I broke my leg out of fire because I tripped. The curb was all messed up, and I was, you know, just kind of hyper focused. You know, trip, broke my leg. You know, and I'm like, man, I just, you know, so did an art piece on it. You know, it's just called tripping. You know?
Yeah,
it's,
I love it.
It's me tripping, you know, and it's just a goofy one that I'm making fun of myself, busting my own chops on it, you know, because I'm like, man, how do I do this, you know? But it's just those little things, you know.
Now, do you have a favorite piece of art that you're one? Maybe one that you maybe even have framed.
Ooh, man, that's a tough one. I think I'd have to say, I say it's self-portrait. I was kind of in a slump. Just stress on things and writer's block, you know, with artwork and stuff. And I did kind of a self-portrait. I titled it N5A. And it's just, you know, it's me as a skeleton. It was, you know, big ginger mustache. And, you know, I pushed myself really hard on the drawing aspect of it. On, man, I just don't want a big black blob. Let's put texture in it and all that. Yeah. I have that one hanging up in my house. And I think that's probably one of my favorites.
Yeah.
There's a couple others that come to mind, just, you know, the stories behind them, or, you know, the little character of, you know, the first time I was ever acting driver on the pumper, I was detailed to a different firehouse, and I knew the officer in charge, and he was like, hey, man, no matter what, don't let the truck beat us out of the barn. You know, you could just, let's go. I was like, all right. And first run that day is a box, and we're both banged out for a house on fire, and all I could think was, man, I got to get out before the truck does. And I thought I knew that, you know, I heard the address, heard the cross street, and I was like, oh, that's left. And that road runs parallel with the firehouse back behind us, and ended up being a right, you know. We ended up getting there in time, where it wasn't, you know, and it was nothing, a little trash fire in the backyard, but it was just that hanging out of the barn, hanging left, and the officer, what are you doing? And I was like, oh, dude, it's this way, right? And he's like, no, go right. And I was like, ah. And the whole ride to that fire, you know, Q's screaming, we're going. And he's like, man, I can't wait to see your doodle of this one, you know. And I'm laughing. And I ended up, I put a character of him, and it's him spitting image just as a cartoon, you know, and it's him on there. And I'm, you know, I detailed out of there into that house a few months after I posted that art piece, and they had it blown up. And it's on the wall.
That's great. You know, it's still there?
It's still there to this day.
That's awesome. You know, I love how you call it a doodle, because it's exactly what
it is. It's all it is.
Like, what you do and your frequent posts is you're just, it's like we're seeing through your daily life. Like,
yeah.
And you're doodling your life away. Yeah. And then putting it out for all of us to see.
Yeah.
When we were at the bar the other night, we talked something about Christmas night.
Yes.
Tell me a little bit about that.
So, you'd asked me about, like, where I started with the artwork, right? Yeah. So, look, there's a guy with another one of my shirts.
That's so cool.
So it started as a kid, man. I guess I got my artsy side from my mom. Definitely didn't get it from my dad, but my dad would tell me stories on fires they'd go to, you know. And I was, even as a kid, I was into the job and I loved it. I loved hearing, you know, oh, dude, this is cool. The only reason I really vividly remember this one was a Christmas light. So it was a Christmas Day fire. It was a Christmas time fire. And my dad was telling me about it. And I remember sitting there drawing the Christmas lights on the house, you know, and I drew the story that my dad had told me. And that picture ended up staying in his locker that I drew him on, this big ass piece of manila paper that I took from my, you know, elementary school. And he stayed on the inside of his locker until the day he retired. And I remember helping my dad clean his locker out when he retired. You know, because I was like, oh, man, dude, dad's retiring. Like, this is it, you know. And I saw it, and it was still taped up there, you know. And that was one of those moments that I was like, man. Like, you know, and throughout the years, I did retirement gifts for guys that he worked with, you know. One of the lieutenants that was real influential in my life as a teenager and young adult, when he retired, I did a drawing for him. And it's cool to see. There's been times he's posted it before on my Facebook, you know, and he'll be like, man, I've got a Zach Newton original, you know, and it's got his name on the nose of the engine, and it's got how many years of service he had on it, you know. And it's stuff like that I'm like, man, it's crazy, like, seeing where I started and how terrible that art piece was, you know, looking at it now. But as a kid, I was like, man, dude, this is really good, you know. And the fact that it was on his locker that whole time, you know, and seeing the day that he brought it down, I was like, man, you know, it was one of those moments that'll stick with me.
Yeah, you know? It's so funny you talk about that, because, you know, I did 20 plus years in one firehouse.
Yeah.
And then I got promoted late in my career. Mm-hmm. I had artwork. My daughter's 12.
Yeah.
11.
11.
Gonna be 12 11. Soon. And but she's been doing artwork. She's been doodling since she was a baby.
Yeah.
And I had to take down these pieces of art that she gave me over the years,
yep,
and then just file them, because I didn't have a place to go. I didn't have a home.
Right.
And that was heartbreaking for me to take all these, like, Father's Day and Easter and birthday cards. I had to hang them all up. And then my son, he started doing it as well. Yep. So now I have a stack of artwork that I don't know what to do with, but they were all in my locker. Yep. So that really resonates with me, how special
that's
that
cool.
is. I love walking past guys' lockers and seeing their children's artwork inside. That's something maybe you should do a sketch on, you know?
So I have it, man. You know, it's funny we're talking about this. I wish I'd brought my iPad with me, man. I'd show you. I've got 15 different pieces that I'll work bits and pieces on, or I'll start working on it, and I'll not necessarily lose motivation, but I get stuck on, like, man, where do I want to go with this? And I have one, and it's a row of lockers, and some of them are open and closed.
Love that.
And it's just, and it was, you know, it's one of those, I'm like, oh, man, I'm known for the skeleton. Like, how do I add a skeleton in on this? Or what, you know, are they waiting for a prank? Or are they looking around, you know? But there's just part of it, too, that I'm like, man, it's just the locker. Like, that enough's, that's enough, you know? You got the picture of your family, or, you know, my girlfriend and stuff. I've got pictures of her and, you know, my dog and stuff. Because that's what matters, you know?
Yeah, no, you know, your firehouse locker.
Yeah.
It's like a small cubic feet of your entire life.
It's your entire life. It is. We're doing the yard foundation party tonight and stuff, and I've got my Hifty flag. And I, you know, as dumb as it is, like, that was one of my first real moments that I was like, man, my art's on something that, like, other people want. Like, these are, you know, selling, you know, and it just seeing it and having it up, and it's as dumb as it is, but it's so cool. And I remember getting pictures from guys all over and major metro departments all over this, you know, US, and they're like, man, we got your pennant, you know, hanging up. And I'm like, dude, that's so cool. Like, I'm in your locker now. You know, I was in my dad's all these years, and now I'm in yours, and I'm in yours, and I'm in his, and I'm like, man, that's cool. Like, that, there's something about that, you know?
Full circle.
I feel like I'm getting, sorry, cussed.
It's fine.
Kind of getting, not necessarily emotional, just, you know, like that realizing, you know, what it means. It's just, there's a part of it. It's that's your cubic square foot of your life at the firehouse, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you're doing great things, man.
Man, it's awesome. It's humbling. I it's crazy. You know, I'm just a dude that likes to doodle and I like to go to fires, you know? I like to hang out with my friends.
Yeah.
You know, so
it's cool. What drew you to the skeleton aspect of art?
Man, so that's we talk for 2 hours on it. I used to struggle with, mental health stuff and just depression and through the military and divorce and, you know, family members, dad, just a lot of stuff. And I kind of came to a catalyst at one point. And I don't know if that's the right word for it, but I just came to a point that I was like, man, I'm taking too much stuff seriously. You know, at the end of the day, we're all meat coated skeletons, you know, hurtling on a rock through space. So it's just, we're all the same on the inside, you know, and it goes back to, you know, we're all firemen, you know, and we're all the same, you know, whether guy, girl, whatever, we're all the same. We just want to go to fires. We want to help people. We want to make a difference. You know, we're here for the right reason. You know, you want to be there for the people around you and for brothers and sisters and stuff. So it just, the skeletons, it was, man, you know, we're all the same. You know, and there's a subtlety on the, I suck at drawing faces, you know, and having to come up with, you know, okay, how do I not make it look like somebody, or how do I do, you know, but then the challenge too of, man, it's a skeleton, like, you know, it's pretty rigid structure. Like, how do I give it facial expressions? You know, how do I convey happiness or sad or, you know, scared or, you know, and it just kind of snowballed into a calling card a little bit. I'm covered in tattoos and I'm covered in skeletons, you know, and it's not a bad thing. It's just, you know,
you know, that's great, because something I think about, I do talk about it. It's not something I would talk about openly a lot of times, but it's about the fire floor. Like, the politicians and the civilians of the industry of the fire service have really, really divided us amongst race and gender.
Yeah.
And I've always thought that when you're on a fire floor, it's lights out.
It doesn't matter.
You can't see anything.
I
don't know who's next to me.
Nope.
I don't know who's above me.
Yep.
I just know that we're all doing our job.
We're all doing our,
right?
Yep.
And then when the smoke clears, if you're black, you're white, you're Asian, you're Indian, you're transgender, you're a female, you're a male, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
We're all firemen.
Right.
You know?
You did a post, and it inspired one recently, my moment is in that I posted a couple weeks.
Oh, wow,
like,
cool.
You talked about being on the fire floor, and that couple of seconds of just, you're like, man, look at this. Like, take it in for a second, you know? And I remember... I remember my dad showing me one time we were in a fire together, and it was one of the coolest experiences ever, is being in a fire with your dad, you know. He's like, hey bud, watch. He's like, look, it's gonna roll, it's gonna start doing this, it's gonna come down the hall on us, you know, it's okay, just watch it, you know. And I was like, whoa. And I will always hold on to that moment of happiness of one, first, you know, first real fire, to the fact that, you know, I'm with my dad, we're on the nozzle, I'm on the nozzle with him, and three, just that moment, feeling that moment of zen. And that was one of the first times I ever felt like true peace, I guess, you know, like, you're like, man, this is cool. Like, this is it.
Yeah. So it's a feeling for me. You find that, and you don't find it right off the bat.
You don't know. No.
It takes some time to get there, but it comes from accepting the fact that we don't have control, that the fire's going to roll over our head.
Right.
We can manipulate control. We don't have control.
Right.
And when we accept that, we actually have complete control.
Yep.
And that's during the most extreme discomfort of the fire floor and floors above.
Yep.
And when you find that meditative state, if you will,
mm-hmm.
that's that moment is in.
That's that moment
right?
is in. Yep. So. And you know, I think a lot of guys, you know, culturally or you know, the way the fire service is going, you know, the quick hits and the transitional attacks and the, oh, hit it quick, you know. There's times and place,
exactly,
right?
Yeah.
I'm never gonna knock it. But there's also a part where, man, get in there, let's go see this. Like, look, it's okay. Like, you can, it's not bad, you know, it's okay. You know, and trying to, you know, get younger guys on the job and giving them that opportunity of, hey, look, watch, don't put it out yet. Look, it's going to do this, you know, and then they see it and they're like, man, that was cool. You're like, yeah, dude, it's okay. The fire's not scary, you know,
no.
It is, but it's not, you know.
Yeah, and I truly think, you know, we become a culture of data.
Right.
Right?
Right.
But data is very regional.
Right.
And that's not what's described when we teach or preach data between fires.
Yeah.
We're not talking about the location or the internal workings of that data.
Right.
And I'll leave it at that. I'm not going to get too crazy about that.
Yeah.
But It's okay.
Yeah.
To go into a fire.
Yeah.
And let the fire do what it's going to do.
Right.
That's energy. We have to be able to manipulate energy in the building, and that's when you develop your fire brain or your Zen efficiency, right?
Exactly.
So.
Exactly.
All right, man. So thanks for jumping on.
Thank you.
I don't want to get too into this because I want you to go on and come on the show and really, really spend some time and talk. We're not in at a conference like this where who knows if the sound audio is even working.
This is awesome, man.
Such a pleasure to meet you.
Thank
really.
You. It was great meeting you. Thank you so much for having me here,
I'd love to. I can't wait to walk around the floor and check out your artwork and everyone's back, you know? So, you want to plug anything before we go?
If you're an indie, come to the Hifty Party. If you're not, Yard Foundation, man, Giving Tuesdays, help out families, and it's a phenomenal place and resource, and I do all the artwork for them, so they're solid dudes and solid people. And
where can we find your artwork?
ZachNewtonStudio.com.
Cool.
So Zach with a K, C-A-C-K.
Awesome.
Yeah.
That's all right, awesome,
man. Thank you so much, man.
Thanks.
Appreciate it.
All right.